looking like straight A student. Teaching today, this is the last teaching of the series, Eyewitness. Everybody say Eyewitness. And so, man, I wanted to be here last week. I wanted to teach on Resurrection Sunday, because that's the Sunday, one Sunday of the year I cry. So y'all didn't get to see that last week. Amen. It's something about the resurrection that just make a 240-pound man just tears, like 40 tears just come out of his eyes. It's something about God loving us so much to humble himself, to come to earth, and to die for me. It just does something to me. Amen? Amen. Because without his sacrifice, we're dead. We're dead beat. It makes sense. So I'm thankful. And so this teaching today is called Me Too. Everybody say Me Too. Everybody shout Me Too. I ain't going to be alone. Let me tell you why. Because I was out of town this week and I worked out. I played pickleball for 2.5 hours. Good God Almighty, thank you for your grace. 2.5 hours, and then that night was Epsom salt, icy hot, a patch. So, man, I'm telling you, I'm almost 100%, but I ain't going to be long. If I am long, you know it's the Holy Ghost. But that Friday pickleball, it had a chokehold on me. I just couldn't leave. Amen. That's my workout lately. But today I want to talk about Me Too. Everybody shout one more time, Me Too. Me Too is rooted in the fact that you are a witness. Everybody say, I'm a witness. Alpheus, what is this Me Too we're going to talk about today? It is rooted in, it's the desire not to be left out. When you hear somebody say, Me Too, you're like, Me Too. It's kind of like when the worship leader, Brother Jerry, Uncle Jerry, he was talking about when he first got married, they had what? They had nothing. I wanted to shout, Me Too! Me Too! It's the desire not to be left out of the count. And so, as it relates to what God is doing in this season, I want to say Me Too, because Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Everybody say Me Too! In other words, did y'all see that on the news this week? Did you see that? Somebody would say, yeah, me too. I saw that too. Me Too is also rooted in, I've been to the mountaintop. I've also been in the valley. In other words, you would say, me too. Like, I've had a lot of money, or I've struggled sometimes. Everybody say, me too. It ain't a competition. Everybody say, it's not a competition. But to me, me too feels like more of a battle. I so didn't study for a test and got an A. Me too. Imagine a convo around me toos. Me toos. What's me toos? I cut the grass this week. Me too. Me too. Are you telling the truth? I paid a bill this week. Me too is a declaration that can set somebody free. Everybody say me too. Yes. Don't let anybody stop your me too. Alpheus, how can me too aid in somebody's freedom? I have not read a scripture yet. How can me too? Everybody say me too. Yes. Turn to Revelations 12:11. If you want to turn into your Bible, if you want your phone. Me too. How can me too aid in somebody's freedom? Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him. Who is him? Satan. They overcame him by the Revelation 12. I don't have it on the screen. I'm sorry, guys. Revelation 12:11, last book of the Bible. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? Word. The word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Unto the death. Always have me too ready to go. Everybody say me too. Share your faith, share your journey. Always have your me too is code for my testimony. It's code for the truth that you want to share. Me too is code for God has been good to me. Me too. Me too is code for he's been good in my marriage. He's been good to me as a student. Ask yourself, why is the enemy wanting to suppress the truth about your Me Toos? A miracle he couldn't even stop. Turn to Matthew 28 real quick for me. Matthew 28. Everybody say, me too. So the enemy wants to stop you from saying me too. Again, it's not a competition, but it really is a battle. It's a battle because the enemy don't want you to get your me toos ready to go. Hopefully this will make sense in a second. I think y'all see where I'm going. Matthew 28, verse 11. Matthew 28, verse 11. After the resurrection of Jesus, you can read it with me, the chief priests and elders bribed the Roman guards to spread a false story about Jesus' body being stolen by his disciples. A miracle just happened in Matthew 28. While the women, everybody say the women. Women. All right, Mother's Day is coming up, and next week I'm going to kick off Mother's Day, I guess, month this season with something very profound and eye-opening. But while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. They saw something. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, Now, it's funny, we just saw, this is not in my notes, we just saw the financial literacy thing about money is what? Come on, class, y'all was paying attention. Money is what? Is what? Is a tool, but he said something that started with the N on the screen. Neutral. Money is neutral. But in the hands of somebody with bad character, it becomes evil. Now let's look at this based on what the gentleman said about 5 minutes ago. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported the chief priests everything that had happened. What just happened? Jesus was resurrected. He is no longer in the tomb. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of neutral money. But in the hands of a what? Evil. Right, in the hands of evil, now money becomes evil. Telling them, you ought to say to his, it's a bribe. Tell his disciples, came during the night, this is a lie, and stole him away. Jesus was not stolen. Everybody say, Jesus was not stolen. While we were asleep. If this reports get to the governor, we will satisfy him with more lies and keep you out of trouble. Why is the enemy trying to suppress the truth about a miracle the enemy couldn't even stop? Let's get the facts straight. First of all, you couldn't stop a miracle. Amen. Now you're trying to suppress a miracle that you couldn't even stop. Get you to hush about something God already did for you. You couldn't even, if you're so powerful, stop the miracle. You would think first plan is to stop the miracle and you stop the Me Toos. If I can stop the miracle from happening, I stop the testimony. Make sense? So today we know that the preservation of this account, I want you to look at this one more time. The preservation of this account that somebody had to write, amen? This is scriptures. This is proof that you cannot suppress the truth. You can't keep the truth from being truthful. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. Matthew 28 is loaded with the defense of the resurrection. Yeah. Because you know they're saying that the resurrection did not happen. And they have some great objections. I'm not saying they're any merit to it, but they can shut us down if we're not prepared to give an answer for the hope that's in us. So let's look at the scripture, because the gospel writers make sure to do what in this passage? To honor women. I said, no. They make sure to honor women that society tried to ignore. Because whoever wrote this gave credit to who? Back then, women couldn't even testify in court. Their words didn't even count in court in that culture. The culture at this time loved making men heroes of every story. Why would the writers give credit to women? So when the heat was turned up, it was the women who stood tall and went to the tomb. Where were the men? So you have the crucifixion. Jesus is placed into a tomb. by soldiers, the men ran away for the fear of them, is what the Bible says. But it was the women says, I don't care. I'm going. And who said that? It was Esther. If I perish, they were the New Testament Esther. If I perish, let me perish. I'm going to go see Jesus. But little did all. But why would the writer even write this about women? Because it incriminated themselves that they were somewhere else, not on their post. So this is true. The resurrection story is not made up. Everybody say it's not made up. Why would the writer, have you ever lied to make yourself look good? Raise your hand. And if you're not raising your hand, you're lying to make yourself look good. Raise your hand if you ever stretched the truth to make yourself look better or good. Raise your hand if you ever lied to go viral on social media for something negative. Raise your hand if you ever lied to make yourself look bad. Raise your hand if you lied to make yourself go viral in the community where you are at risk of being canceled, fired. We don't lie to make ourselves look bad. We know the resurrection is true. They're giving credit to who? Come on, women. They're giving credit to who? Women. That's a no-no. So when somebody, this is ammunition for us Christians to defend the resurrection account. Because we don't lie to make ourselves look bad. But still, the gospel writers did not sugarcoat it. They kept it 100 and they told the truth, even if it incriminated themselves. I can go home now. I feel like I can go home now. Because if it's true, case closed. Amen? I wish it was that easy. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And my hamstring feeling good. So y'all in trouble. Y'all in trouble. God is healing me from that pickleball injury. Oh, man, that just added another 10 and a half minutes. It is not made up. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 says, and if Christ had not been raised, our preaching, what Alphaeus is sharing this morning, is useless. And so is what? Your faith. If Christ had not been raised, what are we here for? Why do we even say Alphaeus Anderson Christian? For what? Understand that your discrediting, that the discrediting of the resurrection is for the purpose of shaking our faith and keeping us from having a leg to stand on. Not a leg to stand on, but a sacrifice. Amen. Our faith, our healing, our future, eternal state with who? With God the Father. It hangs on a sacrifice. Amen? Amen. And so the enemy is trying to get us not to say me too. Everybody say me too. Me too. I'm saved.
Me too.
I'm sanctified.
Me too.
Holy Ghost filled.
Me too.
Fire baptized. I got Jesus on my side. And I'm running for my life.
Amen.
Me too. I made a D on my test. Okay, I see what's happening here. I see what's happening. So I believe. When I tell you, I would take a bullet right now before denouncing what I believe. Ain't that strong? I said, I would take a bullet. Whatever you have, I don't want to go out like that. But if it comes down to it, you're not going to keep me from believing.
Me too.
You're not going to keep me from believing.
Me too.
Everybody say, me too.
Me too.
John 20, 29 says, then Jesus told them, Thomas, because you have seen me with your own eyes, you have believed. But us in this room, we're blessed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet what? believe. What we believe, others belittle. What we celebrate, others condemn. What we worship, others warn against. What we know as fact, others see it as fiction. Our convictions are always confronted. What we deify, others demonize. Our discrepancies, so-called discrepancies, are used as distractions, but they're really not discrepancies in the Bible. They're just different accounts. Everybody say different accounts. Everybody say different perspective. I'm a musician. When I see something dramatic that happens, I'm going to hear something musical in the situation. Amen? Many of you guys are in different details than music. You may be in details about smell. Who has a great sense of smell in the room? Who has great hearing? Who is great in fashion? Fashion. What my fashion? Poetry. Yes. Who has a great memory in the balcony? So they're not discrepancies. Different accounts. Our joyful noise is negative noise to many. Write down these objections, and if you can answer these objections, you're well on your way to defend the faith in a certain way. One objection about the resurrection is the Bible isn't reliable historical document. So this objection is, slow down, Alpheus, the Bible is not a historical document. What are you going to say? Number two, the resurrection account contradicts each other. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You have the synoptic gospels with basically different accounts, different perspectives, but one event. Everybody say one event?
One event.
Different perspectives. So one objection, the resurrection accounts contradict each other. Number three, the eyewitness testimonies cannot be trusted. What are you going to say to that? Because we know people saw Jesus after he was resurrected. Amen? Who believed that? Who's heard of that? Who knows that? Who's seen that in the scriptures? Where is it? What can we do with that evidence? Everybody say evidence. Man, they love to say, you can't prove Jesus was raised from the dead. Guess what I'm going to say? You can't prove he didn't. I'm going to laugh just like that. Number five, objections to the resurrection. Because if the enemy can get us to disbelieve that the resurrection really happened, we are doomed. But we don't have to be doomed. Amen? We don't have to go out like that. All right, y'all okay? The Gospels were written too late to be trusted. What does that even mean? What does that mean? The Gospels were written too late to be trusted. Turn to 1 Peter 3, all right? 1 Peter 3. Y'all heard the objections? 1 Peter 3. All right, I have it on the screen. Read it with me. Ready, set, go. But in your hearts. Everybody say, in my heart. Everybody say, in your heart. It is important. The heart is important in this matter. Amen? Everybody say, in my heart. All right, let's keep reading. I promise I won't stop. Honor Christ the Lord, which is truth, as holy as being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with what? Gentleness and what? With all due respect, sir, ma'am, you are wrong. And watch the guns come out, the darts come out. Even in that, that's not to say that you're going to not be counseled or threaten to be counseled. That is just telling you your posture. Amen? Amen? Because 2 Corinthians 10 says, for the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, verse 4. But mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the what? Knowledge of God. Write this down. The defense we are making is against one, irreverent babbles, mind games, clutter talk that exalt itself against the what? Knowledge of God, dropping doubts or doubt drops, or confusion tactics, side chatter, distraction talk, empty words, haters, talk from haters. But the Bible instructs us to do what? Cast down. Can you kind of just do this to wake you up? Just to get your hands up like this and just kind of pull something down, or I don't know how you interpret casting, or whatever you want to do for casting. If you're into praise dancing, you may do something fancy. But the Bible says to cast down. This feels active to me. Everybody say active.
Active.
Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the what? Irreverent babble content. Against what? The truth. Against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every what?
Thought.
What's a thought? It's an idea. It's content. It is a presentation of, in this situation or in this account, it is referencing a presentation of false ideas, of non-truths, to the obedience of Christ and having in a readiness to what? Revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Everybody say, me too. That's what today's teaching is about, getting your me too ready to go. Amen. I believe. And I'm getting my evidence together to defend the faith. It's a journey. This Christian walk is a journey. Amen. I don't know everything. I got some questions for the good Lord Master. But I am going to be quick to jump in when I hear somebody capping about the 66th book of the Bible. All right, y'all ready? It is not our job to refute what they say. I like the way Frank Turrett says this. It's our job to support. It's their job to support what they say. Let me make sure I didn't mess it up. It is not our job to refute what they say. So, example, they come to you with an accusation about the resurrection. It is not your job to refute it. It's your job to turn it. And it is their job to do what? Support what they say. That's gonna buy you at least 5 minutes to get your answer together. Amen? I mean, this is real, because when you're in a hot seat, you're at the barbershop, you're in class, you're in school, you're on social media, and they say whatever they're going to say about your God, the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, just say one statement, write it down. What do you mean by that? When I tell you that's going to buy you 10 minutes, if they say, I just heard somebody else say that, just either block them or just go the other way, or just say, well, just leave, go get you some coffee. But you see what's here of irreverent, because sometimes, again, I just said that we have to be aware of irreverent babbles, if you wrote it down, mind games, clutter talk, doubt drops, confusion tactics, side chatter, just trying to just get us mixed up in the details. Amen? Because the greatest miracle happened in Genesis. And what is that? The first five words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Because if he can create something out of nothing, if God can create something out of nothing, resurrecting Jesus from the dead is a breeze. Hello? If God can create something out of nothing, Noah building this big ark and there's a flood and Moses parting the Red Sea is easy. If he can create something out of nothing, that pain in your body is a breeze. What are we worrying for? You earn about a $269 bill, and God created something out of nothing, and you trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never. Come on, choir rehearsal.
Alfie's in Anderson in choir rehearsal and Friends.
You really worrying about your next move, and God created something out of nothing. I'm going to trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Me too. The resurrection is easy. The resurrection, write this down, is an impact event. Everybody say impact event. The resurrection is an impact event. What's an impact event? Everybody say impact event. First of all, it's going to be hard to forget something like a man being in the grave for 3 days and then coming back to life on Sunday, and on Thursday, you see me at, let me shout them out. We don't have no sponsors. We need some sponsors here. You see me at Chick-fil-A. Donate to this church if you're watching online. Imagine my funeral is on Sunday. You see me at Chick-fil-A on Thursday. Do you think that's going to be kept quiet? Why not? Because it's an impact event. It's very dramatic. Just like you cried at my funeral. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm not foreshadowing anything, because my wife Lex is up there like, baby, just stop that. I don't know what I would do without you. So I'm just for an example. I'm not trying to make you sad, sweets. I just for an example, okay? That's dramatic. And an impact, write this down. Impact event. You never forget. Where were you on September the 11th, 2001? Just give me some details at the same time. I'm gonna try to listen. He was at work. Where? Greenwood. That's very detailed. Where were you 2001, September 11th? Home. Work. Wasn't born. I was in, where were you? I was in class, and my teacher, my music teacher at the time, dismissed class because of one thing that happened. September 11, 2001. What was that? 9/11. Where were you November the 22nd, 1963? Do you remember? Sleep or where? School. Where were you on April the 4th, 1968? April the 4th, 1968. School. Do you remember that day? What happened that day and in that week, April the 4th, 1968? Yep. MLK was shot on that day. That's an impact event. Where were you April the 9th, 2006? Wait a minute, Alpheus. I don't know. I do know. I was with my wife, and she knows a little bit better than me, because that was the day that her grandmother passed away. Impact events will be remembered for a long time. The greatest, everybody say impact event. So y'all see where I'm going with this? An impact event like the resurrection will not go unnoticed. It's just not something that's going to be swept under the rug. Amen? So it really did happen. Amen? And I believe that. The greatest impact event that changed the world was even recorded. I'm not trying to bore you guys, but it was even recorded by secular sources. Amen? That don't have a dog in the fight. And one of those sources was this gentleman named Flavius Josephus. All right, do not go to sleep. Amen. This is huge. This is a huge discovery. This is huge in the faith, where a secular historian who lived about 2,000 years ago. Does that sound familiar? This historian lived about 2,000 years ago during the time of Jesus. He was smart. He helped a Hebrew historian. He was not a Christian. He helped people understand the Jewish life and the stories. He was not a Christian. He didn't have a dog in the fight. He was just reporting what? The truth, the news. Some of the highlights of this gentleman, Flavius Josephus, write it down. Flavius Josephus, not a Christian, a smart historian. And he wrote stories from he wrote about stories from the Bible and Jewish history. And he helped archaeologists figure out where to dig and to understand discoveries like old cities, old coins, don't go to sleep, pottery, and ruins from the Bible times. He wrote about the Jewish war, Flavius Josephus, and this particular fight between the Jews and the Romans. Geographically about this place called Masada. Everybody say Masada. Because of Flavius Josephus shows you the accuracy of this non-Christian and his writings and what he wrote about at this time, helped archaeologists discover this place in Israel called Masada. We were right there. We didn't get to go. We didn't get to go. We were right down the street, like over there, like right over. We didn't get to go because it cost a little extra money, by the way. This is the place where Jewish rebels took their last stand against Rome on this mountain. Flavius Josephus wrote about Jesus, and this is what he said. I'm going to get some help reading because I'm going to take a break on this. Your mic working? So Flavius Josephus wrote this account about what was happening during his time about 2,000 years ago. Sweets.
Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as receive the truth with pleasure.
Wait a minute. This is a man that knows the gravity of his writings. Not only people going to take him serious, but it's in the history books. And he is writing this about who? About Jesus. All right. This is not in the Bible, by the way. This is not this is, I'm quoting a historian, okay? A trusted historian. Ready, set, go?
He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when
Wait a minute! This man who is not a Christian just called Jesus what? The Christ. You can't deny truth. Amen. You can't avoid truth. Amen? Every knee will bow and every tongue will what? And there's a Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen? And there's a difference between belief that and belief in. Say it again. There's a difference between belief that and belief in. Belief that and belief in. All right, sweets?
And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day. As the divine prophets had foretold these 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him, and the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct at this day.
And make you want to say, thus said the Lord. But again, I've given you the background that this is not a Christian writing this. This is a Jewish historian who is responsible for archaeological digs that is verified, that is possible because of his writings. This is a powerful person that is writing this about Jesus. Okay, so y'all take that with you. All right, I want to end with this. Y'all okay? If you're bored, say amen. All right. Hallelujah. I want to end with this. Why am I calling this Me Too? This inspired me to call today's teaching Me Too. 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there. I do have it on the screen for you. About 10 verses. If you just hang in there with me, 10 verses. Please hang in there with me. 10 verses. 1 Corinthians 15. Ready, set, read. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have what? Taking your stand. By this gospel you are what? Saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the what? Scriptures. We're relying on the scriptures to believe in, that believe to believe something is true. It seems like that's a lot for God to ask of us. You're asking me to believe what? These words on the paper? They're not just words on a paper. Amen. They're real life accounts. He was sitting in the balcony writing. Alpheus is saying this right now. He has on his red bottoms. He has on his red jacket. Somebody is writing the account of what's happening in this room. There's smart students in this room. There's beautiful ladies in this room. There's champ. There's men that are champs in this room. They're writing down the details. Amen? So, for what I received, I pass to you on as first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The scriptures, accounts. They are not lies. Amen? Verse number 4, that he was what? Buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the what? Now, this is the shouting part to me, because I hate to be tricked. And being a Christian, you don't have to feel like you've been tricked to be a part of something that's a lie. Amen? Jesus revealed himself after the resurrection to who? Read it. To who? Peter, Cephas, and then to what? The 12. And I wish I had time to deal with this, because after Jesus was raised from the dead, there were not 12. There were how many? 11, because somebody killed themselves. All right, so why did it say 12? I'll talk about it next week. After that, he appeared to more than who? 500 of the brothers. Some translations say men only. So it's not that it was 500 men and women. Only 500 men. So you know it was more than 500 people that Jesus revealed himself to after the resurrection. Because if it's lifting men, you know the women. What did I just say about 15 minutes ago? That the women were not given this honor in scriptures or in that time. They were not lifted to be a part of something great. All right. To 500 of the brothers asleep. Then he appeared to James. Then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to who? Me too. Paul is saying Jesus also appeared to me too. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did Paul physically see Jesus walking on earth? Did Jesus come up to Paul and say, hey, here I am, yes or no? Paul is saying Jesus also appeared to me. He said, me too. How did that happen? How did that happen? As to one abnormally born. Verse 9, two more verses. Y'all okay? For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul, if you didn't know, in this room, of course, he persecuted Christians. On his way to do some dirt, persecute Christians, God revealed himself to Paul, blinded him, and revealed, Jesus spoke to Paul on his way to do some dirt. So Paul is saying, you know what? Jesus, after the resurrection, you revealed yourself to Cephas, to 500 people. But hey, I'm not going to be left out. Remember I said at the beginning of this teaching, it's not a competition, but it's like a battle. It's kind of like this Me Too is about, I don't want to be left out. I ain't going to be left out. Everybody say, I'm not going to be left out. I am not going to be left out. 1 Corinthians, Paul is not only admonishing, but he is also giving a bold defense of the resurrection based on historical evidence, eyewitnesses, and his own personal experience of meeting Christ. Everybody say, me too. I'm finished. I'm finished. At least I'm going to elect to be finished. Did y'all enjoy this teaching?
Yes.
Everybody say, me too. So 1 Corinthians, again, this has inspired me to call this teaching me too. And last of all, he appeared to me also. Clap your hands if you enjoyed this teaching. I got to end it. You can rest on your feet. And I want to close by saying this. I'm kind of feeling like Paul. Me too. I wasn't there, but for Paul, Jesus appeared to him on his way to persecute Christians. For me, imagine Alpheus on the fifth row at First Baptist Church of Fairfax on the left side of the church. That was my me too. For you, it may have been in the car on the way to the club. For you, it may have been in your bed at the house. I'm trying to come down your road. For somebody else, it may have been on the backside of the mountain where Jesus revealed himself in a vision. Amen. God has been good to me in the Andersons. He's been good to the Andersons.
Me too.
Listen, it feels like the more I stand up here, he is healing my hip, my hamstring. God is a healer, saint, but he healed me. Listen to me. I may look like a saint, but I ain't always been a saintish. He delivered me. He worked it out for me. Your marriage may have been, my marriage was restored. That may be somebody's testimony, and you can say me too. So know that many people are not going to believe until you stand up and say, me too. Please don't hide your me toos. Please don't hide your me toos. If it's not a battle, it's not a competition. It's not a competition. God has been good to you. Well, he's been good to me too. We should jump in the ring of God has been good to me and let the unbelievers hear it. I'm traveling around the world. I'm traveling around the world too. I'm paying my bills. God is allowing me to pay. Everybody say, me too.
Me too.
I graduated with honors. Is there anybody in this room? Say it.
Me too.
Me too. Y'all say me too 5 times I'm really gonna be finished. Me too. Ready, set, go. Me too. Me too. Me too, me too. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for this time to share and encourage. Thank you for getting on our case in a unique way this morning, that we dare not hide your goodness, that we dare not hide the truth, that we dare not run like the men in the Bible who was scared. But we want to be like the women in Matthew 28. That was about their father's business. When we see truth, we want to spread truth. When we see lies, we want to come against deceit, no matter where it shows up. In our schools, in the White House, in the government, in our own house, we don't like evil, no matter where it shows up. We hate evil, even if it's evil that tries to show up in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We leave you encouraged today to get our me toos to ready to go and dispense at the drop of a dime. We love you, we adore you, we appreciate you. Keep us safe and forever in your care. Many of us in this room are saved. If you're in this room and you have not accepted Jesus in your heart, you can't say me too. If you want to be able to say me too, I'm saved. Jesus has saved me. Jesus has delivered me. Jesus lives in my heart. I have opened up my mouth and I confess. I believe. There's some facts that have been shared today that has finally convinced me to believe in Jesus of Nazareth And if you want that, if you want to be able to say me, to be saved, can you just wave your hand? If you want to be saved this morning, just wave your hand. Just in case, if you want to be saved, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, just wave your hand. If you want to be able to say me too, that means everybody in this room can say me too. If you're saved, shout me too, and you're dismissed.